Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Shaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project on a Tuesday evening. Everything is going well. So far, so good. Just want to know how everybody else is doing. I was watching the news today. You know, they got the Trump stuff in the news today. They said some heads is getting ready to roll. We'll see. You know, I don't really play into that stuff anymore. I think I'm gonna stay focused on Yah and the 400 years and ending our captivity. That's what I want to stay focused on. That's what makes me feel better about, you know, what's going on in this world, because that's the only bright and light at the end of the tunnel. All this other stuff is just mess, you know. And when you realize that it's just mess, and it's always been messy, and you didn't realize it until now, you just take a deep breath and let it do what it does, because this is the Most High's doing. He is exposing it for what it is. So there's nothing else we can do but just watch the show, because it is a charade for real. You know, I just, you know, it's not a whole lot that you can do from this standpoint in terms of changing anything. We don't have any power over anything. All we can do is just watch the show and wait on the Most High to come and deliver. That's it. At the end of the day. You know, we have had shows about transhumanism, and we've had shows about 5G, and we've had shows about chimeras, and we've had shows about GMOs and clone meat, and I mean, we have covered it all to give the people some insight as to what's going on. You know, we believe that. We believe in reporting so that people won't be in the dark as to what's going on around them. But at the end of the day, we still got to eat. Still going to have to bless it. You're going to have to do the best you can, bless it, eat, and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? So whatever we have to do to get through this, we have to do to get through this. It's basically what I'm saying. As long as we don't break his law. Now, I never encourage anybody to break his law under any circumstances. You know, but this society that we living in, this is something else right here. I mean, you know, you just have to deal with it the best way you can. You know, I don't really, Africa's all right. Africa's going to be Africa. Them black folks is black folks. Yes, they are, but they're not our folks. You know, a lot of the punishments there that they're suffering today is because of Yah. You know, we just have to be able to accept that as a fact. You know, everybody said, well, Israel was on the continent. It was at one time. It was. I'm not doubting that. But what I'm saying is right now today, we have to worry about getting over the curse here so that we can move to the next level, whatever that is, however that is, because I don't see anything but good. You know, anytime he tells us it's going to be so bad that it's going to be a day that has never been, but Jacob shall be saved out of it. I see that as being a good thing, you know, manifesting itself as something great. I don't see that as bad at all. So, you know, I'm excited about that. You know, we're trying to get confirmation about the Washington, D.C. thing. I told them I'm going to give them until I'm not even going to wait till the end of the month. I think I'm going to call them on Friday and find out what the deal is and how far along we are so we can start making plans to get up there. So we can be there to do what we have to do. You know, I'm excited, you know, and I don't want to. One thing I don't want to do is add a lot of expectation. I don't want to do that, because I can do that. I have the power to do that. I can put my ideas of what I think is going to be and how I think y'all going to show up and what a wonderful time it's going to be, and we're going to get. I don't want to do that. It's an apology. We're going to give an apology. We're going to say we're sorry and to give an apology. You know, and for the things that we have to do for that moment, you know, we're going to reflect on what it was like to be in this country, what it must have been like for our ancestors, what they had to go through walking into this country not realizing that they had years to do, you know, and understanding, you know, that there's somebody, and this is what's so deep, that out of our group, some of us have to be descendants of those 20 people that came in here in 1619, because this is the seed that the Most High is talking about. And, you know, when I listen to a lot of the Israelite groups, they say, well, it wasn't all the tribes. The Most High never said it was all the tribes. He never told you that in the first place. But somebody in this group has to be connected to those 20 people that walked into this, that walked on this soil in 1619. You know, and I know that there have been the Moors was here before, and I know all the stories. I know from they calculated it from 1492, but evidently he was not talking about those people. It was a seed that was going to hit this land and was going to do 400. And it looks like we it. I just hate to say it like that, but the way it's looking, we are it. You know, so it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what the Most High does and how he does it, you know. And I'm excited, you know, because if we're it to be able to fulfill that, then more than likely we're it. We're going to be it that's going to walk up out of here when the time comes. That's just how he does it. He just didn't wake you up just to wake you up. He did. And you wonder, you'd be like, well, how many people can 20 people birth? Thousands. Thousands of people. You know, I mean, you know, when you look around at, I don't know if some of you all are married and got children, and then your children got children, and they children got children. We got six generations living in my family right now. So, you know, two people can come together and birth a whole bunch of folks. So evidently, we are the descendants of those people that hit this place in 1619. For us to be woke and conscious, not only woke and conscious, but identifying with the 400 years. Because there's a whole lot of people that's woke, conscious, and don't accept it. They don't. They're like, oh, that ain't happened. That already happened in Egypt. Even though we have debunked it 1,000 times, they still believe that this is something that's already happened in Egypt. So as a result of that, we keep it moving. Because it ain't for you. This is something you don't have to do. But evidently it's something that we have to do. I'm going to give a count in a minute of the people that we have on that have registered already. So if you have not registered and you plan on going with us in September of 2019, I would advise you to register so we know how many people that we're going to need. I mean, how many people that are coming. And the website is 2019dayofrepentance.us for us. 2019dayofrepentance.us. And if you can go on there and put how many people you got coming, if you bring in your whole family, if you bring in your church, we need to know, you know, so we can do this together. Now, I know there are some groups that's trying to do this. They're doing some other things, and all praises to the Most High. We will be praying for you. But this is a moment in time when it was only 20 people that got off that boat. It was 20 souls that was walked into this place in 1619, 20. And it was 70 souls that walked into Egypt, and millions walked out. So, you know, as we do this, we're going to do this for the whole nation. The whole nation, men and women, girls and boys, sit down and do this for the whole nation and be able to apologize for the things that we have done and the things that our ancestors have done, you know, because the things that we did them out of ignorance, not knowing. I mean, we knew what wrong was. Everybody knows what wrong is, you know, but to know the law and to understand the law, those are the things that we are speaking of tonight. You know, but I'm excited. I am really excited, you know, to know that the Most High is putting a team together because he did this, not me. I don't know any of you all. Some of you I've never met. And I've been talking for years on this radio show, and I have never met some of you I have never laid eyes on. Some of you I have. Some of you have taken the time and, you know, out of your own treasures, you have flown to Cincinnati. We have broke bread together. We have reasoned together. We have prayed together. We have, and, you know, and it has been a pleasure, you know, and all praises to the Most High. I'm honored that, you know, you felt that it was necessary to do that because that was Yah. Some of you I have not seen yet, and if you go to Washington, D.C., we will definitely lay eyes on each other because once we leave there, we start a whole new journey. This is a new journey, a journey that has never been done before, a journey that's curse-free. You know what I'm saying? A journey of we're walking into a blessing because we just came out of the curse. We're going to walk into a blessing and bless while the nation is being judged. The Most High going to bless us. So I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to experiencing that moment. I'm looking forward to those things, you know, and I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't try to figure it out. I don't try to work it out. I don't try to have it make sense. I learned something a long time ago, that I'm not going to drive myself crazy trying to figure out how his mind works, because his thoughts and my thoughts are as far as the east is from the west. You know, I can't even begin to understand what kind of a mind he has. I don't even want to know. You know, he's beyond anything that we can comprehend. You know, his intelligence far outweighs anything that we've ever experienced. You know, the ability to be able to put a story together like this, who could do that? And write it in a book. He taught him to write it down. And it's been sitting up on our mantelpieces and on our nightstands and in the drawers of hotel rooms for years and years and years. And nobody bothered to pick it up because they couldn't understand it. But boy, when he opens up your eyes and that book becomes clear, you can't put it down. I can't put this down, you know? Just not so much as knowing that we're in it, but seeing how he put it together. He is the master puzzle maker. He is. And it's when, you know, when I was in Christianity, it was those things that you'd be like, oh, okay, so I had to do this, so this could do this. So this could work out like this. And as you come over here on this side, it really becomes prevalent, like, wow. You know? It's a miracle. You know, it's amazing. It's a miracle. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic. I am. I mean, just to know that we're going to meet him. We're on our way to meet Yah. We're on our way to meet Yah, and that's enough right there to know that that's what we're doing. So I want to give everybody an opportunity, anybody who would like to say something tonight. I don't really, you know, whatever you want to talk about, I can't tell you not to talk about Trump, because if that's what you want to talk about, we can do that. You know, I just know that he's there to serve a purpose, and he served his purpose so far. And if the Most High has something else that he needs to do, he will do that before he leaves, you know, and we just watch him do what it is he does and bring all of this stuff to the surface, because, you know, in order for that generation to get punished, they have to all come to the surface, and they are coming. You know, they really are. Now, it's not everybody, but it is some that are coming to the surface to make it very clear how they feel, you know, and they're entitled to their feelings, you know, and we're entitled to ours. You know, we just keep doing what it is we're doing. And let the Most High do what he said he's going to do, because I want to be there when we get on the ships. I want to be there when we all gather together, whether we fly in or whether we float in on the ship. I don't care. I want to be there. I want to be there when we all gather together and say goodbye for the last time. I want to be there. I want to see it. I want to see all of the people come together that trust Yah and walk away from it all. I do. I want to see that. And I want to see us making our journey to the wilderness. You know, I want to see it, because the Most High is going to make sure that we get there, just like he did the last time. He doesn't change. He's going to make sure we get there. Now, we might be proven on our way there, but he's going to make sure we get there. You know. You'll have plenty of bread and water and whatever else you need. He's going to make sure that we have it, so that when we get there, we are able to do the things that we need to do. You know, so that's where I'm at today. You know, I'm just trying to get myself ready. And I'll be doing that until we get ready to leave. You know, get my mind ready, clear my mind of things, and keep it moving. So anybody else want to have a conversation, please feel free to push one. I don't really want to talk to myself tonight, you know, so if you want to have a conversation or talk about anything in particular, please feel free to do that, or, you know, I keep talking. If I can talk for 2 hours, I would prefer not to, but I can for sure. You know, it's just a miracle. What was it I was going to tell you guys? I wanted to read something to you. I got this cartoon that was on my job, and it was hilarious. I got to read it to you. I'm going to put it up on the board when we get together on Thursday, but I had to print it out and bring it. Now, mind you, this cartoon is something that someone drew, and if you can visualize it, it's a chain link fence. And on the fence it says Border Detention Center. And they have, it looks like a white Jesus, and he's standing there in a robe, like a Hebrew robe, and it's a bunch of Hispanic children that are standing around him, and they look like they're scared to death. He has his arms around them. And then they have Jeff Sessions standing there with a Bible in his hand, and this is what the Jesus said. He said, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And that's in the caption. It has Matthew 24:40. And then Jeff Sessions leans back at the ICE policeman that's standing there. He said, who's the weirdo in the house coat? And the police officer says, he says his name is Jesus, Mr. Sessions. Should I whack him? And I just thought that that was absolutely hilarious. I got to be able to show that to you guys on Thursday, that they put that together, because it is definitely fitting. It is definitely fitting the way we're going, at the rate that we're going right now. It's just amazing some of the stuff that they put together, you know. But we there now, you know. And everywhere I look, all on the news today, they talking about the unraveling of this nation. That if we don't do something, this nation is going to unravel, and this is the most dangerous time that this nation has ever been in. And if they don't start to do something to protect the democracy of this nation, we are headed for some serious times. And I'm like, wow, this is really something. But the Most High said it was going to happen, you know. And here we are. Hold on a minute, I'm trying to pull this up. Hold on. I want to pull up this article that I saw today. And they were talking about how this is one of the most dangerous times in the founding of this nation. They said in the founding of this nation that this is one of the most dangerous times, because they need to come together, regardless to whether they were Democratic or regardless to whether they were Republican, and protect the democracy of this nation, and not protect the political agenda, but the democracy of this nation. And if they don't do something, we are headed for it. It's almost over, basically, is what they were saying. You know, and I was just like, wow. You know, and you see y'all doing this, and it's like, man, this is really turning into something. Let me see, area code 757, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, sister. I have been talking. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can now.
Okay, I was saying shalom because I haven't been talking to you guys for a while, because I'm at work, and I have quite a few people that are sniffing around on the hunt, and so
Uh-oh.
I've been listening, but I had to kind of like keep it on the down low a little bit because
okay.
They are something else, and they're not all, you know, the white people. A lot of them are our people, because, you know, sometimes you try to tell them in a roundabout way, you know, especially this time of the year, I don't believe in Santa Claus. I don't, you know, everybody's showing pictures of their Christmas tree and the decorations, and I'm like, okay, but that's a fantasy fairy tale for me. And, I mean, I just say
mm-hmm.
it. I just don't believe in it. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of our people do
mm-hmm.
not like that. They cannot receive that.
I know.
And so, you know, you have to be careful how you say it. But I just say I don't do that. You know, that's a fairy tale. We don't believe in that. I don't want ham. But they know that at work. I don't eat that stuff.
Right.
And you get a lot of stares, and I know they whisper and they talk and stuff, because you know you have to, you know, you are withdrawing, and they don't understand why, you know. So,
right.
But
right.
Nevertheless, you know, I just, you know, just go on and stuff like that. But you know, you have to keep it on the down low, and they're very interested. They're like, what are you listening to? I'm like, it's my blog talk, you know. And a few
mm-hmm.
of them, I try to, you know, I said, you know, I try to say it in a roundabout way, but you have to be very careful, because see, some of our people are diehard I don't care what you say. I don't care what you show them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
even if you give them, I mean, you show them, they will still come back and they will not receive it. And I just can't do that. It's frustrating, even with your own family. So I just tend to let people go head on. You know, once I say what I have to say, you do what you want to do. But I just said I'm not into that. And I'm not, and just go on. And, they, you know, I get a little stares and stuff, but that's how it is. So I'm just glad to be back and talk with you guys. I'm listening. It's just that I can't stay, you know, because you got too many people sleeping around.
And isn't it difficult to know that as long as you was going along with the club, everything was wonderful. Everybody loved you. We could put money in to get Christmas gifts. But the moment you say, I don't celebrate Christmas, somebody asked me that today. They was like, do you celebrate any other holidays? I said, no, I don't. I celebrate the high holy days, but I don't celebate the holidays. And I leave it there. Now, if you want me to go into detail, I'll tell you why. But I don't go into all and change it. I'm like you. After a while, I'll give you a story. I told him yesterday that I'm going to have a new grandbaby. Well, my son brought me his girlfriend to meet, and he's planning on marrying her, and she just got baptized at her church. And she was really excited, and I didn't tear her down. You know, I told her who we were. I told her what we believed in, and I told her, you know, what our goal was in so many words. And I didn't tear her down because she got baptized at church. I just asked her, I said, are you excited? She says, yes. I said, I used to go to church. I said, and I was baptized once, too. I said, I understand all that. I said, is your parents in church? She said, yeah, really heavy. I said, oh, okay. And I laughed at that. Because I guess what? Until the Most High opens up their eyes, you can stand in the middle of the floor naked with a bullhorn, and they're still not going to hear you. So what's that?
That's true.
Some people have to take that journey. They have to take that journey. You know what I'm saying? They have to understand and take that journey. But one thing I can tell you about these young kids is they ain't going to be up in there for no 5 to 6 years if they're sincere. They're going to look at it like, okay, is it working? Because if it's not working, we're not going to be able to do this. So, and whether they come to y'all or not, they'll be able to tell real quick, you know, whether it's real or not. So I understand how you feel. Go ahead.
Because I told them, I said, they were talking about Santa Claus, and I said, you know, even when I wasn't aware many years ago that I wasn't, you know, I didn't know the truth then about being an Israelite, I never told my children that there was such a thing as Santa Claus. I didn't believe. I said, I am the one that's out here working. And they all looked at each other, and I'm like, He is not real. It's like a fairy tale. It's like Easter Bunny. It's like the Tooth Fairy. I mean, you know you're putting money. You know, come on. And they all looked and they said, you know, I just let them go head on because they think I'm strange anyway. And because I don't.
Well, you know what?
I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sis. I said because
no,
even as
say, I read an article the other day where a teacher. So one of the kids asked her about Santa Claus, and she told him that Santa Claus wasn't real. Do you know they fired her?
They fired the lady for telling the truth.
Yes, they did. That lady lost her job because she was telling the truth. So now you know what kind of society that we live in. They fired that lady for telling the truth. And you know what we're dealing with. I mean, it's just unfortunate. The kids asked the teacher about Santa Claus, and she told him that Santa Claus was not real, and the school system fired the teacher.
And I tell him, I say, you know, y'all saying that what you're telling your kids that this white man gonna come in here and give you a present, and you can't even ride in the car without being. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I just, you know, I say things and they don't like it, you know, but they don't bother me. I know they're whispering and stuff because I don't get involved with it. I just go do what I got to do and, you know, you can believe what you want, but I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. That was one thing that I didn't have a problem detaching from. once I found out really who I was and what the actual meaning was, and I was a big Christmas person. Oh, I loved it, but I got rid of that stuff. I got rid of that stuff. And sometimes I'll find stuff in the box and stuff, and I'm getting rid of it. But, you know, it was very easy for me to give that up. I mean, really, when you really sat down and listened to the history of this stuff, you cannot, I don't understand. I don't understand it. They just don't want to listen to you. They don't want to listen. And I don't even bother myself, frustrate myself, because they're going to do what they want to do and go ahead and do what you want to do. Because I'm not going to be worried about this, and I don't. And really, you know, some people would rather believe a lie than the truth. They do.
They say lie to me. I'd rather you lie to me and live in. Do you know what it is? They want to live in a fairy tale. A lot of people want to live in a fairy tale rather than the face reality and be like, sis, that's not real. He's not real. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
Not.
He's not real.
And it's not getting no better out here. I mean, if you don't see the writing on the wall, something wrong with you. And I've had somebody tell me, well, I don't like to read. I ain't going to read. I said, wait a minute. Don't read my Bible, because my Bible might be a trick Bible. Get out your Bible and read it. I don't like to read. I'm not even going to argue with them. Because, you know, whatever you say, they're going to shoot it down. They're going to find some kind of excuse. And this and that, and some of these people, you know, they were quick to go to human resources and tell them all kinds of little stuff.
They sure will. They said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That is just unfortunate, but their eyes aren't open. And when they open, and we've been on the show where there's a lot of people whose eyes is open. You've heard some crazy stuff come from some of these people who claim they know they're Israel. You know, and what gets me is the ones who claim to say they Israel, and they know they Israel, they come on this show, these programs that we have, and argue you down about a principle that they really don't know. It's like, how are you arguing about something with us, and we've been studying for years, and you don't even know the basics.
And you know what else I've come to realize? They are watching. They are watching more than you realize. They are watching you, and I'm talking about, and me too, they are watching us more than what we realize. And I said, oh, my goodness. I'm like, you say you don't believe, but why are you watching me? Why? I mean, it's all it's like you're under a microfine glass or something.
The first time you put some bacon in your mouth, they're going to walk up to you and say, I thought you said you didn't eat pork.
Oh, they're
watching. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they are. They are watching.
They are.
Because I told them, I said, no, I said, I don't, because on the weekend I work at the community services board in the residences, and I'm quick to tell them, if you want to do your vegetables or whatever, don't put no pork in that. And I mean, I'm serious.
What?
They know that. They know that. And one of my supervisors, the other day, she brought me something for Dunkin' Donuts. And she had bought me a sandwich. I said, oh, this is a turkey sausage. And she said, no, it's bacon. I said, oh, no, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. And I said, I asked her, so I said, do you want this? And I made no apologies about it, because I know I can't receive it. If you want to eat it, hey, knock yourself out. But I don't do that. Don't play that stuff with me.
What?
Don't play that stuff with
me. And they're watching. The first time you mess up, and you don't live what you say you live, somebody's going to be there to tell you, I thought you said, and you're like, well, what you worried about me for? You do what you do. But you said you didn't, and they'll be right there to tell you, too. They know it's right. They know it's right what you're doing. They know it's right.
One of my white coworkers, she asked me, she said, well, Do you don't eat pork? Is that religious or your diet? I said religious. I said religious. She didn't say nothing else. You know, she says nothing.
Right.
But you know, they don't bother me.
Right.
Once you they don't bother. But you know what? I have more flack. I will say this. I have more flack from the people that look like me than the people that don't look
like me.
I know you do.
And I understand. Because you know why? They know you're right. It's something in their DNA that tell them that you're doing the right thing. And you know what? They can't come up against you, because We're not the average Israelite that you see on YouTube, and we ain't walking around in costumes and stuff. We just living every day. We living our normal lives and living our culture every day. And they can't understand that because they can't say, oh, they them people over there. No, we not them people over there. We all family, but we don't carry ourselves like that. We just normal, everyday people learning our culture and loving on our Elohim. That's what we doing. And they don't understand that because they can't put us in a category, see? They can say, well, are you holiness or are you Church of God in Christ? Are you the Israelites that be on the street corner? Which one are you? We are the children of Yah. We are the children of Israel.
That's right.
And you got a piece about yourself that they can't explain. They be like, well, she's different. She don't do all that. I don't do all that stuff
anymore. Because I don't be in their little thing when they be talking about church and this and that and blah, blah, blah. So one of them, one of the coworkers, she's real loud, but she's married to a tight man. And I don't know if they was in one group one day and they was saying, somebody was saying, yeah, I want a Chinese man. And I said, I don't mean no harm. I would stay in my own race.
She got so upset with me. I know she got upset with me.
Because, you know, I kind of like let that slip out. I didn't mean it, but I'm being serious. I said, no, you can be whoever you want to, but I prefer to stay in my own race. So I'm sorry. A lot of times y'all be talking, and I be like, "Oh God, I want to go in there." But I had so many people walking around you, and they looking at you, and all this kind of stuff. I said, "Oh man."
But you got to be honest with it, and it is. You know, they follow behind TV, and they do what they see on TV. And you know, I'm like you. I ain't gonna stray. I ain't never strayed, and I ain't gonna start now. And especially now that I know that it's wrong, and y'all say it's a no-no. But I've never thought about it either, so it didn't make no difference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody's doing what they see on TV, and it's unfortunate that it's gonna cause you to make a decision that you really don't want to have to make.
Yeah, it's going to backfire, and a lot of people are going to be disappointed in the end because a lot of people are going to be disappointed in the end behind this stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all can sit
yes,
there and be see with all this. You see on TV, and this is influx. I think I said this once before. You got the white man and the black woman. I have never seen so much of this stuff on TV.
I know. It's the biracial relationships and marriages is all you see on TV now, on commercials and everything. And it's unfortunate, but Yah is not going to allow us to stay that way. He's just not going to allow us to stay that way. And it's going to be a decision that everybody's going to have to make. Is he, you know, and it's going, we ain't going to be allowed to. We're not allowed to do that. We're just not.
Right.
You know. I remember I worked in an environment where it was all Caucasian people, and I was the only one in there. It was an assembly room. I was young, too. I was maybe about 20, 25, 26. And we was all talking, and they was talking about, you know, biracial relationships. And I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I want some little black grandkids. And they looked at me. Now, my kids was little. They was little. I said, I just want, if I had my preference, I want black grandchildren. I mean, I don't want my children to stray outside of their race with anyone. And then they got real serious. Well, do you think you could love someone from another race? I said, I can love anybody. I don't have no issue with that. I don't hate anybody. But my preference is I would prefer to have little black grandchildren. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not knowing, you know, because I've never sat down and told my son and my daughter anything like that. It's just the way I've always felt. But they've always geared toward their own, you know what I mean? And they've never ventured out to go outside of that. But, I mean, you know, but now that I know what the law says, we're not even supposed to marry outside of our own tribe.
That's something.
You know? Nah. And the thing was so deep is when we were doing our advanced class on Wednesday, we're in the New Testament. So we have made our way through the book of, we were Matthew, and then we went through Mark, I think, and then we're in Luke now. And I was trying to explain to them that the genealogy that is in the book of Matthew is Joseph's genealogy. But the other genealogy that is in the book of Luke, that is Mary's genealogy. Both of the two are from the royal house of King David. Healy is Mary's father. And when you do the research and you understand that it says that Joseph was Healy's son, in the Greek he admit he was his son-in-law. So that, you know, when you do, that's just deep when you really break this thing down. So when you understand that Mary and Joseph were, both of them were from the lineage of the royal house of King David. You know, and the Most High is very serious about that when it comes to keeping us together within our own tribe. Very serious. Mm-hmm. And Christianity used to try to tell us that he, one of them was from the line of Judah, and the other one was from the tribe of Levi. And I'm like, no, that's not possible. That's going against his word. Both of them was from the line of Judah.
Okay.
So, you know, when you, that this word is something. You know, for the people who don't want to read it, you don't have to read it because I love it. I can't, this guy asked me at work, he said, what's one of your favorite books? I said, I only read one. He's like, what you mean? I said, I read the Bible. That's the one that keeps my attention. And then he had to lean over and say, what's your favorite part? I don't know if I can pick a favorite part. But you know, I had to mess him up. I said, you know when the Most High was on Mount Sinai? He was like, yeah. Now, he's from the other nations. He said, yeah. I said, do you know when he was giving Moses the blueprint on how to put together the tent tabernacle? He was like, yeah. I said, you know what he told him to do? He told him to put a depiction of the spaceship, altar of incense, because the cherubim was right there too. I said, I think that's my favorite part. You know, he turned around and he didn't say nothing else to me for the rest of the day. He didn't say nothing else to me. I said, don't ask me then. Because I'm going to definitely give you a nugget for you to go listen at, you know, cause, and then what tickled me was I was in sandwiched in between these two young girls from the other nation. And one of the girls was on her way to Africa. And she said, you know, they would probably accept you more than they would me. I said, why is that? She said, because of your skin color. I said, not necessarily so. I said, because there are Caucasian people in Africa, too. I know. I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying, I said, but you look at me and you think I'm an African-American, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, I'm not. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I said, but that's the problem. You can never judge a book by its cover. I said, let me give you an example. I said, Meghan Markle, everybody's all up in an uproar about this girl because she's marrying Prince Harry. I said, but she is a Caucasian girl. And she looked at me, I said, because her father, Caucasian. I said, and the lineage, according to Numbers chapter 1, goes through the father. I said, but then you can look at Mariah Carey, on the other hand, and she looks like you. But she's one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, I guess they looked it up, because you know they got the computer right there. And one of the girls said, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. I said, you can never judge a book by the color. You have to look in deep into a matter.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I said, so what is your father? She said, well, my father, he's an American. I said, no, what is his lineage? She said, he's Russian. I said, then you're Russian. So it's
and
a lot.
I think a lot of people are looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to look deep into a matter, well into a matter. You just cannot decide, you know, to look at somebody's skin color and say, oh, well, you black, so you just got to be African-American. There's no such thing as an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
That's the label that they put on us. Let me open up Brother Leonard's mic. Shalom, Brother Leonard. Your mic is open. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, well, that's what they got us in with the slave trade, you know, when all the raping was going on the slave ship. They gave those people to us. But those were Caucasian. They were Caucasian. But they gave them to us.
Yeah, I can believe that too. There was a lot of stuff going on in that day and time, a lot. You know, but they I don't think that they're ready for the understanding that we have now about how things are supposed to be in Yah. You know what I'm saying? Because Yah definitely does not rule this society that we're in or the world at this point. I mean, you know, he's in control of it, and he's not going to let it go beyond his story. But the nations that we're around now, understanding the 70 nations and the 70 languages and the 70 gods and all that stuff, now we understand that it's not a world that reverences Yah. Maybe I should put it like that. They just don't. They really don't. And you just look around, it's like, well, I'll go through the motions. I'm going to go to bed so I can get up and go punch the clock again tomorrow. And, you know, we do it again over and over again, wait for the Sabbath to roll around again. You know, but we do what we have to do until this is over. You know. It's unfortunate. But I try to drop a nugget every now and then, you know, so that they, because they're young people. You know, when I deal with them, they're young people. You know, all of them in their 20s. You know, maybe 30, you know. I mean, you ask me, I'm going to tell you, I don't volunteer any information. You know, I don't go through there preaching. I don't say nothing to nobody. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. You know, one of them walked, she said, well, what do you do on the Sabbath? I said, rest. It's a day of rest. That's what we're supposed to do, rest. She said, well, my Sabbath is on Sunday. I said, I know. I know what your day, I know what day y'all, you picked. I thought to say the Roman Catholic Church, Jack. But I didn't. I didn't say nothing. It's not my place. You know, not my place to correct them. It's not my place to instruct. It's not my place. You know. And it's very interesting, I'll tell you. And my uncle did not lie. And before he died, he told me, he said, they treat you totally different when they know you know. He said, when they know you know who you are, they treat you completely different, and they do. They do. They do. You know. And I don't know whether it's a good different or just a different, but it's a whole new normal because it's not something. You know what I'm saying? It's all, like you said, it's almost like you know they're watching you. You know, and they watching you real close. They don't want you there, but they don't want you to go nowhere either. You know, so. And my problem is that I'm very gifted. You know, I came out of the church gifted. I see, I dream. I'm very gifted when it comes to certain things. I don't say a lot of things because it's not my place to say anything unless the Most High gives me an unction to do that. But it's a lot of things that, you know, that I see around them that's getting ready to happen, but I can't say nothing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If I were to start talking, it would really be a whole different ballgame, so I don't say nothing. I say nothing. Nothing at all. So, you know, it's very interesting, I'll tell you. It is very interesting to know and to live this life knowing, you know,
and
you
know, sis, I believe that, and I believe that too. There's a lot of things that's getting up to happen, and you know, and I do tell them, I do say this, I say, you know, why don't y'all go get you some water and some canned goods? You know, even if you don't believe that anything is going to happen, but just prepare yourself. I do tell them that straight up. I said, you need to get you some canned goods for what, even if you think you might not use it, there's nothing wrong with having. And you know, sometimes they look at me. Yeah, they look at me, but I'm like, you know, I'd rather be, you know, have something here, you know, something. Not saying that you're going
to be. And I did the same thing, sis. I used to do that too when I first went on my job. I was like, you know, get some water stored up. Go get you some cases of water. Get you some stuff stored up. You know, and I sometimes do tell a few people, you know, but I mean, you know, hey. Yeah, I hope they listen, because I did. I did the same thing when I first started that job. I did. We were all in a room, and the people that was in that room with me, I used to tell them all the time, get you some water and some food stored up. And they'd be like, okay, we hear you. Okay, I hope you hear me. And then when you look at the people that are around you, and you'd be like, man, they're going to be in for a rude awakening when this all happens. And then you start looking at how many people are going to perish.
Right, right. And the writing's on the wall because this economy is tanking. I mean, this economy really is tanking. You got stores closing, and one store in particular, I said, you know what I mean? They said Dollar Tree is closing down. I said, the dollar store? The dollar
You said
store?
Dollar Tree?
I mean, Dollar Tree, yes, ma'am, is one of the stores that's going to be facing mass closing. And I said, Dollar Tree?
Wow.
See, they gotta start looking at this stuff a little bit closer. Because what is the DM closing down? Y'all gotta go ahead and get something. You better put something up. Something is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are, I hate to say it, these white economists that come on it, they are telling you something is coming and you better prepare. And see, if they're telling you now, they have been preparing for years. We're the last
they
one
got
to know.
Underground bunkers. Yep.
They cracked the code on those ghost cities.
What's going on with that?
They cracked the code on them. The video is China ghost cities soon to have residents.
Well, what do they mean by that? I heard y'all talk about that once before, but what do you? So all these cities China is building, who are they planning to put their people in it or what? I've never got to hear tales of that.
I don't know. Nobody knows for real who's going in there. They don't know. I mean,
yeah,
they
watch
know.
The video.
Who knows? I know they were saying, who's the little lady with the, let me see if I can pull her up here on E. And she was saying how the economy is getting. I didn't know Dollar Store was closing. Lord have mercy.
Whoa. Yeah, Dollar Tree. Save-A-Lot. It's a few other stores that's closing.
Yeah, Lord have mercy, have mercy. I don't know. I'm trying to pull this little lady up. Listen at this. It says, are you ready for the financial crisis of 2019. This is Wall Street talking now. Wall Street is putting this out. Yeah, that's what it's saying. Are you ready? Financial crisis of 2019. I mean, they've been saying this out long, though. I mean, they've been saying it for 2018, 2017, all of that kind of stuff. It says, for moneyed Americans, most of the past years, that felt like 1929 all over again. The fun, bathtub, gin graphing, rich white people doing the Charleston early part of 1929, not the grim couple of months after the stock market crash. It said after a decade-long stock market party, we saw the stocks of S&P 500 index create some $17 trillion in new wealth. The rich indulged in $1,210 of cocktails at the Four Seasons Hotel, Thai bar in New York, $325,000 Rolls Royces, culinary sports vehicles in SUVs, Loving Houston in nine figures, crash pads like Aaron Spelling's 56,000 square foot mansion in Los Angeles, currently on the market for $175 million. More than double what it fetched just 5 years ago. Will it last? They said, who knows? But in recent months, the anxiety that we could be in for a replay of 1929 or 1987 or 2000 or 2008 has become palpable, not just for the Aspen set, but for any American with a 401k. He said, overall, stocks are down 1.5% this year after hitting dizzy heights in early October. Hedge funds are having their worst year since the 2008 crisis. Household debt recently hit another record high of $13.5 trillion, up $837 billion from the previous peak, which preceded the Great Recession. It says after a decade of low interest rates that fueled a massive run-up in stocks, real estate, and other assets, financial Cassandras are not hard to find. Tudor Jones, the billionaire investor, recently poised that
we are likely at a global debt bubble. It says we might prove the pinprick to be everything bubble, as doomers like to call it. Could be anything, could be nothing. Only time will tell if everything bubble is a bubble at all. But just a decade after the last financial crisis, here are five popular doom and gloom scenarios, and they keep going over what they're saying is basically the student loan debt is taking us down, because that's a guaranteed loan from the bank that they know the students will not be able to pay back. They make their $1 trillion worth of debt in student loan money, and they know these kids is not going to be able to pay that money back, because there's no jobs out there to give them to be able to pay the money back.
And that's
nobody
what I was
has
saying.
Money like that.
No, and nobody has jobs like that either. These jobs
no.
are not that plentiful out here. And you got
no.
kids graduating by the dozens. And a lot
no.
of them have got advanced degrees and stuff.
No,
I'm there.
And they're not paying you what the degree is worth.
Nope, sure not.
Sure he's
not.
He's a pro at
it. Say again?
He's a pro at it. Esau's a pro at all that. That's all that goes under usury that the Most High told us
yeah.
not to deal with. And Esau a pro at that.
Yeah.
All that ties
yeah.
to all that ties to just like on Madoff. They pros at that.
Yeah.
A lot of
well, guess what? They got everybody
jobs.
In debt, because I got some too that I'm paying on. I'll never pay that money off. Never.
Never pay. And listen, working jobs that we know we got no business working. With these advanced degrees.
No.
No.
Should
I mean,
be in six figures.
Yeah.
You should
yeah.
be in six figures,
yes,
and there's no way that they can afford to pay you that. They cannot afford to pay you that. They can't. They're keeping that money
and they got all these,
they just cannot afford it.
And they get cranking out all these for-profit schools. With balloon tuitions and stuff. I mean, it's just awful. It's just awful. We are really,
yeah,
this country is really, they're not telling you everything.
It's
why
the
they,
most
they're teaching
high.
All their
it's
kids,
the most
though. They're teaching all their kids
say
to
that
speak
again.
Chinese. They're teaching all their kids, all elite teaching their kids to speak Chinese. So that's the writing on the wall right there.
Yeah, but they ain't going to be able to hide there either, because it's going to go down too.
No, they
it's
need
going
they're
down
moving.
Too.
They're teaching all their kids to speak Chinese. That means that they're going to be in China. Trump teaching all his children and all the older children, too, they're learning how to speak Mandarin, Chinese.
But,
so that's writing on the wall right there.
But see, that's why Trump is he's so embedded in business, because he's just making money off this country. That's his goal is making money and keep his kids in power while he at it.
What?
He's
using him as a facade. They hanging him out there, dangling him out there, just like when you go to catch fish, you put a worm on the bait. That's all he is. He's a worm. They doing what they're doing over here while everybody paying attention to Trump. He a clown.
That's true.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe he's a major distraction. I mean, we have a lot of major distractions for what's really going on around behind the scenes.
There's some scary stuff going on, but it's got to happen. I mean, because how long have the Most High been saying this? This is not a coincidence that it's happening now. It's not a coincidence. It just really is not. This is real.
It's something else to think about is, I was thinking about it the other day was, that you know, it's getting ready to be a major population shift from one location to another. Well, when Britain came into power, it was a major population shift. Everybody migrated to Britain. When America was discovered, the population shifted to America. So now we see it's going to be another shift.
Yeah, but it ain't gonna change nothing. No, I mean, you know, I could see them leaving, but. It still ain't gonna change nothing. It's still
gonna
be the same.
Well, if you look at it, everybody keeps saying that the beast is a man, but Daniel tell you that the beast is a system. So when you look at that, the pound was the number one currency when England ruled. Then America came into power. The dollar is the was the standard. Now we see that the Chinese money is going to be the standard, and we see people shifting. So if you go back to Daniel and look at Daniel, it says that the four beasts diverge from the other three, from the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, and the Greeks. The four beasts, which is Esau, he's able to jump, transform himself. That beast is moving. And what we're witnessing right now, in real time, the beast moving. It's moving from America. They downgrade America, and they're moving to China. And they started this in the 70s. They started this in the 70s when they took all our Caterpillar and all those major brands. They all went to China. China didn't just all of a sudden pop up and be as powerful as it is. They started moving back in the 80s. They took away all our industry and they went to China. Now we're looking at America is a Frankenstein beast. And we looking at them kill Frankenstein because they're getting ready to move.
Yeah, it might be, but this outcome is gonna still be the same. It don't matter where it is, it's gonna still be the same. Because I can't see everybody closing up shop and going. Now the elite might be going to China, but the average person that's working every day can't afford to make that move. Now, you got elite. That's the lesson. They've been gone for a moment. But you're talking about the average working person, they can't afford to do that and start all over again. No.
Right.
It's something. It's just unfortunate, you know. It is unfortunate. There's so much stuff going on. It's just unbelievable, you know. But that's what happens when you live in a lawless society that don't follow Yah's law. This is exactly what you get. This is the example of what you get. Because eventually it's going to burn itself out. I mean, you can only lick so much and lap so much and sleep with so many people and change your gender so much that you just evolve to the point where you're going to start sleeping with animals. And then what's after that? Kids? And then what's next? It's just going to go from bad to worse. It's going to be a lawless society just like it is. And it's a lawless society. It does not serve Yah's law. It don't.
Right.
And they'll tell you in a minute, Christianity, oh, you ain't got to keep that. You ain't got. I said, well, you keeping this one? And you saw they adamant about, oh, no, you don't have to keep that. Oh, no, that's gone away. Well, you keeping this one, though? And they don't even know what it is, but they adamant about it because, like you said, I don't want to read. I want somebody to tell me what it is that I need to do and I don't need to do. So they've heard the pastor say, the law's done away with you, ain't got to keep it no more. And they'll argue you down and not know what they're talking about.
I was looking it up last week, the week before last. I don't know whether you guys touched on it or somebody else I've done. They were talking about Charles Stanley's son, the one named Andy Stanley, was saying that you don't need to go back in the Old Testament. And I did look that up online, and he did say that.
Well, you don't have to go back in the Old Testament. They don't believe that. They believe that the Old Testament has been fulfilled. The Old Testament has been fulfilled. Well, they don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And if they do know, they're deliberately leading people astray because there are so many scriptures in the Old Testament that have not been fulfilled. I try not to listen to them.
And then it was saying something about Buffalo Dollar was saying that you got to pay for his Wednesday night Bible study, and I looked that up, and that's not $10. It's $19 per person. Once a month to have access to his Wednesday night Bible services. I said, y'all ought to be shaming yourself. What's next? You're going to pay for the Sunday service too?
Yeah, some of them will, and some people will. And some
I
people
just,
will.
I mean, you know, it's just getting bad. It's getting worse. It's just getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think anything wrong with this. But that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Why?
They don't know no better. They don't know the difference. They don't know. They feel like he's their spiritual leader. They know no better. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Nothing. The whole thing is corrupt. But that's the system that's the system that's been going on, and that system will continue to go on, and there's nothing that any of us can do about it but do what y'all say do. Because we're not going to change the devil.
No,
we ain't going to change him. And his system's been running for a long time. And they are on a time schedule. And that's why I say I don't spend a whole lot of time dealing with what's going to happen to the people of the other nations. My focus is Israel. We got to get Israel together, the ones that know what to do, you know, because it's not going to change nothing. If the outcome's going to be the same, God's word is not going to come back void. It's not. I got to work on me.
That's true.
For real, I keep saying that. I got to work on me, you know.
He asked Israel, have you ever seen a God that tells you things before they happen? And so we're looking at what he told us 2,500 years ago, contrary to everything they're doing, it's still coming down the pipe, just like he said it was.
And that's how we know that Bible is real, because we have a more sure word of prophecy, because it's revealing itself right before our eyes. And he's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. That's why I love him, because I know he's going to stand on his word. And I don't want to be on the bad side of him. I don't ever want to be on the bad side of him. That's why I work on me. And I'm just as polite and as nice when I'm at work. I try to be the nicest person I can be. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to be mean to nobody. You know, I'm just going to get me together so I can be ready when it comes time to go. You know, I'm not forcing this on nobody. The classes is open to my children and my family, just like it's open to everybody else. You have to make the choice to want to do this. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not. Because if you think you're going to put some stock in this stuff is crumbling down right around us. And it's like I told y'all, it's a sweater that's got an old string on the end of it. And if you pull that string, the whole sweater will unravel. That's where we at.
Yeah, it's actually a demo job, just like they did the World Trade Center.
Right, absolutely. So I don't want to be the one to pull the string. I'm trying to keep everything like it is until y'all say so. So we still got to eat. We still got to go to work every day. We still got to do the normal things and raise our families and our children and hope one day to take hold and pray for them so the Most High open up their eyes and they'll be able to see. But we can't stop. We got to keep doing what we're doing. No. It's going to be interesting, but there's nothing we can do about it because he said that it was going to happen. And I'm like you, brother, it's not a coincidence that all of this is happening around 2019. It's just not. They said in that article, we don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's time for us to come together and make sure that we protect the democracy of this nation. Because if we don't, we are at a critical point right now with this nation and the way that we're going. But y'all the ones that voted to die in there. And it was cute at first. Everybody thought it was funny. It ain't funny now. Because people losing their houses and their cars and their kids can't go to school and they're not going to have no job. That's not funny. I know what that feels like. That is not funny at all whatsoever. I don't care what color you are, it's not funny to be able to wake up and you don't have no money coming in. And they looking at him cockeyed and sideways like, man, you need to do something. But it was cute before. It ain't funny now. Mm-mm. No. No, and when you talk about messing with people's livelihood, you know, I still think about that GM plant that's closing in Ohio. You know how many people is getting ready to be out of a job? They said
they lay off 15,000 people, and 1,500 of those people is coming out of Ohio. That's going to shut that whole town down. That whole town was based around that plant being there, from the grocery stores to the mom-and-pop shops to the post offices to the value of their houses to everything was centered around that plant being there, and it's going to be closed down. That place is going to turn into a ghost town. Their property is not going to be worth nothing.
So he was going to bring the dogs back and this and that. So, hey, they can't look at nobody but him. So he's the one that got to deal with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they're looking at him crazy now. I'm like, look, you see, we got to still eat. You trying to prove a point. And we got to eat. And you put all them tariffs on them countries. And they were like, oh, well, guess what? We can put tariffs on you back. And then Ford is turning around laying off 25,000 people.
Well, it's interesting to see what his campaign strategy is going to be, because you know that it has to start in 2019. So this is going to be real interesting.
You better believe it.
But you got some people. They got some people that said they're going to vote for him no matter what. So, hey, this is your no matter what.
This ain't funny. This ain't getting ready to be funny. I mean, you know, it's not running a country is not the same as running a corporation. It's not the same. Well, the country is a corporation, but I'm just saying, you know, when you're dealing with other countries, that's why they made those relationships with those other countries. And they put up with a lot of stuff from those other countries because everybody needed something from each other. And now you're going to come in and try to play strong arm with them other countries, and they're going to play strong arm back. And look at what it's costing. You know, this is getting ready to get interesting. And I don't wish that on nobody. I mean, that is not no joke, for real, not to have no job. And like we just said,
we know how to survive.
But
we know how to survive, Sister Yaina. We know how to take a little bit and make it fit. But these people don't know how to do that. They don't have, and they never had to. So this is going to be a different ball game for them. So, I just sit back and watch and see what sticks, see what's happening.
And if you don't have no, if you don't have no moves, that you can't make nothing work for nothing. Nothing for nothing is nothing. And like I said, you got a house, you just bought a house, it's going to be worth nothing. You know, they're going to walk away from those houses, and then here go the housing bubble again. We can already go through that same thing. I mean, it's going to affect everybody. It's not just going to affect them. It's going to affect everybody. That's what I'm saying. It's going to trickle down and affect everybody. So it's, you know, it's like, whoa. And then he's threatening to shut the government down if you don't get the money for the wall. And the government workers is looking at each other like, now, wait a minute, hold on. I have a sister that works for the IRS. They closing down her whole department next year. Everybody got to find another. They have to find another place in the IRS, or you're just out of a job. They closing down the whole department. And if you want to keep your government status and your government, your level, your G level or whatever, you have to find another job in the government somewhere else. And if you can't, you have to go. They're going to just give you unemployment. You got to make it the best way you can. This is serious. You know, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, and you just look at how bad it was in 2008. I went through that. I know what that's like. You know, I know what that's like. And that was no fun at all whatsoever. But, you know, it's nothing you can do to stop it because the Most High say it's coming and it's coming. So, you know, it's not going to just be them. It's going to affect us all. Food prices is going to go up. Gas prices is going to go up. It's going to affect us all. The IRS is laying, they closing down departments, whole departments. In the job somewhere else, or up, increase in the load of another department. No, it's crucial. But all we can do is wait on y'all, because there's nothing else we can do, and pray that, you know, he show us some mercy. No, and then 401ks and stuff getting ready to hit. As we just read with Wall Street Journal, what they said, the 401ks is going to take a hit again. You know, and this is how some of these people getting their retirement money. You know what I'm saying? They ain't talking about the retiree. It's just a mess. But the Most High has already spoken it. We have to keep our eyes open and pray for the whole, all the people, because it's going to get ugly. No. It is, really is. You just don't even know where to start. Like you said, everywhere you turn, stores is closing down, companies closing down. It's unfortunate. There's nothing you can do about it either. But anyway, you know, we just have to keep it moving. And hope for that, we're going to pray to God and hope, you know, for the best that, the, you know, that, that everybody get a chance to do what they need to do. No, but it ain't funny now. It wasn't funny then, but it really ain't funny now. They looking at him sideways. They really are. And they talk about Wesley Mueller getting ready to issue the indictment. The investigation is over. And they got a long list of folks they getting ready to start indicting. It's like, Lord, have mercy. What did you say, Brother Leonard?
It's a setup. When you look at it, everything culminating to the 2019.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
setup.
Yeah,
it's being
we ain't got for 2 more weeks, and 2018 is over with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Democrats take over the House in January, and I think that's what a lot of them waiting on.
Save it. All praises to the Most High God. You know, it's always He always leads us out of a place that's on, that's going through some serious, serious thing. You know what I'm saying? That the country is in a dire strait, but He leads His people out. In the midst of it all. Because Egypt was on fire. It was smoking when we every place was smoking except Goshen. That's the only place that wasn't on fire. Or hadn't been on fire. Goshen is the only place where it was free, because that's where we were. You know? We just have to trust y'all. I trust Him anyway. You know?
Yeah, Haman had set us up.
Say again?
Haman had set us up in Babylon.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It was a tight thing with that.
Yeah, he had us set up.
And the Most High found a way through Esther. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they would come and kill us all. And then Mordecai ended up with his position.
Right.
And passed another edict to say that we could fight for our own stuff. And ain't nobody mess with us either.
Right.
It's interesting. I tell you, it's going to be something to see. You know, I'm like this is, encourage everybody to store some water and some food and some flashlights and get you a crank radio and do the best you can with what you have to work with. You know, I don't even eat canned goods, but I got some in there. I do. But I believe the Most High, He's going to take care of Israel. Israel's going to be spared. We're going to do what we need to do, because we got to be saved out of it. He didn't wake us up at this time to perish.
Well, I keep a lot of people saying about they not going to. You hear a lot of the Israelite people with they with the channel saying that about 2019 that they not going to the Middle East and all that because of Russia over there and China over there and all that, and saying that we don't have an army, and so why would we go over there if we don't have no army or nobody to defend us? Well, we got the army in Ezekiel 37.
That's right. That's right. They can stay here.
Brother Leonard, they just talking. Because when them boats pull up, I bet you they beat you on there. They probably try to take your food.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They can be the first one over there.
They're going to be the first one on the boat. You ain't there trying to take your seat. Shoot, they call
right.
you.
Right.
They ain't that much in love with this place. Believe me.
But wait a minute. So some people that don't go here, they're going to be here. And it, I mean,
something
going to do with their head.
So
yes,
I guess when they start looking at them guillotines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to take in consideration George Gaston, too.
Yeah.
Right.
So the best place to be is wherever y'all is, whatever you have to do. You know, if you want to stay behind, you'll be the one here in the cleft of the rock trying to find something to eat. I'd rather be over there where the food's going to be plenteous and the Most High going to be there with us. I don't want to take no chances. They ain't going
right.
to the Middle East. I bet you they beat you on the boat.
Right.
I believe that, too.
I bet you they beat you
Lord
on the
knows.
Boat.
And leave this stuff right here and get on out of here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, God. You know, they just talking. They just talking because they listening, too. Quiet as a cat. They listening. Trying to figure out what everybody else doing. What y'all doing? Y'all leaving yet? I get calls all the time like that, Brother Leonard, from people just on the outside. Because y'all ain't. Y'all, what y'all doing? Y'all leaving? Y'all staying? Let me know what y'all doing. I do. From people all over. I know. From people all over. I do. Shoot. I'm just like, you gotta make that decision for yourself. Don't be following me. You know. But I want to give everybody a chance. Anybody else want to push one before we dismiss for the evening? Because it's 8 o'clock, and we usually dismiss between 8 and 8:30, and I have enjoyed talking to the sis and Brother Leonard. Anybody else want to say anything before we dismiss for the evening? Because I got to get up and go to work tomorrow, and I got to get up at 5. So hold on. Here go Brother Leonard again. Let me get open up this mic. All right, Brother Leonard, your mic is open.
What I'm doing?
No, so we just opened up the mic.
Oh, yeah, my phone that clicked on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just saying they talking stuff because they listen to us, too. They listen to us, trying to figure out what we're
right.
going to do. What y'all doing?
Right.
What you doing? You following me. Anyway, nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and end the class tonight. I got to get up at 5. Brother Linda, what you want to say to the people before we dismiss?
Oh, well, I say just keep your head up, keep studying and speaking the Most High, and everything will be all right.
All right. Sis, what you want to say?
Just want to say just get ready. Whatever come our way, I believe y'all going to have our backs, and we ain't got nothing to worry about. Maybe a little frustration, but we're going to get there.
All right, and we're going to make it, and I think that that's enough for everybody. I don't need to say no more. We'll see you Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number is 319-527-9197, and the access code is 256-039-pound. Again, the phone number is 319-527-9197, and the access code is 256-039-pound. We'll see you Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Good night.
Shalom.
Shalom.